Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. My name is Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. I want to pick up where I left off yesterday, because unforgiveness is, apart from lust, unforgiveness is probably the greatest of our faults, and sometimes the greatest of our sins. And I want to show you Christ's posture. He forgave all of us, for our part in his crucifixion. That takes a lot of forgiveness. But that's the heart of God. And that's the heart that God wants to give us. And it goes smack against the values of the world. But it's what God wants to give. I was reading the other day, Father Simon, I used to refer to him as Merikakis, but now he is a Trappist monk, and his name is Father Simon. And he writes this, which I think is just very important for us to hear, and I can't take a lot of time. I could probably read to you for a week's worth of programs, but let me read just this part to you. The principle of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth does indeed stimulate us to become aware of the need for justice. Perhaps it is even a necessary step in our education to accountability, much as in ancient Greece, the blind, bloodthirsty desire for revenge of the Furies was a step in the evolution toward rational, deliberative justice. But that cannot be the last word. If I pluck out your eye because you have plucked out mine first, then the world is short two eyes instead of only one, and we will soon have a society of blind men. Translate that into spiritual terms. We will soon have a society of blind men. The willingness to surprise our adversary with compassion, with love, with forgiveness, with justice, according to the heart of Christ, in other words, performs a far more efficient and constructive task. It puts evildoers at the risk of being converted, and it dynamizes the whole of society by introducing into it the most divine of principles, that is, self-giving at all costs. After my enemy has slapped both my cheeks, he will have run out of cheeks to slap, and perhaps he will be ashamed. After I have given him both tunic and coat, he will perhaps learn to have pity on my nakedness. And if I go the second mile with him, perhaps this will give us both the needed time and shared experience to pass from animosity to friendship. Perhaps all of his aggressiveness toward me comes from a lack of imagination, from a real ignorance concerning what other courses were available to him besides injustice and violence. Perhaps my open hands and silent mouth become the most eloquent of teachers, and I will have won a brother or a sister to the Lord. Perhaps. I must run the risk that my apparent weakness will be construed as an added invitation to even greater violence, and that my enemy will move on to slap the next man's cheeks. Is this not, however, the very risk our Lord took in coming into our midst, in handing himself over to us, in opening his arms on the cross? Generosity of the sort practiced by Christ is incompatible with any kind of calculation. We must act as he taught and as he acted. Here, too, the law of Christ for us is always an extension of God's law for himself, which is to say, the very law of God's own nature. He allowed his blood to be shed, and its sprinkling transformed the face of the man holding the lance. By not resisting evil, our Lord would say, you allow it to spend its fury and show its finiteness. You allow it to exhaust itself, and you allow God's life to flow through you and fill the huge void you have by your seeming passivity created in your former adversary. By courageously choosing the path of humble and loving non-resistance, you have added one more stone to the construction of God's kingdom. Father Simon. His volumes, five volumes, soon to be, on the fire of mercy, heart of the word, meditations on the Gospel of Matthew. Ponder that. Ponder that teaching. Because our instinct is always to retaliate. Always. It's our sinful instinct. And if we can stop and say, Lord, what would you have me do? And give me the grace and power to do what you did for me. Give me the grace to do it for another. Life will change. In fact, the gospel for today, is Matthew 5, verses 43 to 48. Jesus said to his disciples, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, perfect here doesn't mean that there is absolutely no sin, no fault, no error on your part. That's not it. Choose to accept what Jesus Christ won for you upon the cross. Choose to accept the gifts he gave you in his Holy Spirit. Accept those gifts and live out of that reality. It will change your world. It will change your life. And only God can give us the grace to do that because we come against our own human condition, our own human weakness and frailty and sinfulness. But if you turn your life over to the Lord, it's amazing what God does. The opening prayer in today's Mass says this, O God, strengthen those who hope in you. Graciously hear our pleas. And since without you mortal frailty can do nothing, grant us always the help of your grace, that in following your commands we may please you by our resolve and our deeds. And I could add, and may we bring many, many, many more to know you, Lord. I'm going backwards here today, but the first reading is taken from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 8, verses 1 to 9. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, of the grace of God that has been given to the churches of Macedonia, for in a severe test of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their profound poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. So they were suffering greatly, and yet they were generous. For according to their means, I can testify, and beyond their means, spontaneously, they begged us insistently for the favor of taking part in the service to the holy ones. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and to us through the will of God, so that we urged Titus that as he had already begun, he should also complete for you this gracious act also. Now, as you excel in every respect, in faith, discourse, knowledge, earnestness, and in the love we have for you, may you excel in this gracious act also. serving others, caring for them, reaching out beyond yourself. I say this not by way of command, but to test the genuineness of your love by your concern for others. For you know the gracious act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that for your sake he became poor, although he was rich, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in a certain way, that's what we're called to do for others. Give away what we have. Even if it makes us feel poor, give away. I'm not talking practically, materially, I'm talking spiritually. To spend time with those who don't particularly like you, but in a common project or something, or people that you don't particularly like. Spend time. Really get to know them. Open your heart to them. God will change their lives and God will change yours. Responsorial Psalm, praise the Lord, my soul. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will praise to my God while I live. Blessed he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. That's where your hope needs to be. Not in the stock market, not in relationships, not in your promotion. Your hope needs to be in the Lord who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free, and God wants to set captives free through you. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who were bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects strangers. And God wants to continue to do those things in this 21st century. In this year of our Lord, 2017, God wants to do it through you. You're it. Some have not been born yet. Others have gone on to God. So it's up to you. It's up to me. Lord, I am your servant. I am your son. I am your daughter. Use me for your glory, for the advancement of your kingdom. May I begin by the power of your Holy Spirit to think more like you, to pray as you prayed, to serve as you served. Lord, I want to be more like you. Help me, show me. And he will do it, brothers and sisters, through the most mundane, normal. You don't have to go looking for it. Just take advantage of what comes right up in front of you. How does God want me to act? What does God want me to do? How does God want me to act? What does God want me to do? Come, Holy Spirit, fill my heart. Inspire and enkindle in me the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit. Renew the face of the earth, Lord. Use me. Make those prayers your own. And you will be amazed, honestly. There's scales that begin to fall from your eyes. If you're living a righteous life, that means you repent when you fail. You really repent when you fail. You open your heart to God and he will use you beyond what you could imagine. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.